So I think it's very important for us as Catholics in America to really understand kind of the present moment of our faith and really how influenced we've been by being in America and how different Protestant veins of thought have kind of influenced the common spirituality that we share as people just in society. So heavily influenced in America by kind of veins of puritanical thinking. We're also influenced by kind of Pentecostalism. And so, of course, that influences the way that we think about the Holy Spirit. Often, as a priest, I encounter people who are desiring a deeper encounter with the Holy Spirit. And when we talk about what that might look like, it often drifts into the supernatural charisms. Things like speaking in tongues. Things like healings. Things like being slain in the Spirit. These big exterior manifestations. There are places for those realities within the Catholic tradition, though often with a different nuance than is often found in more charismatic, Pentecostal kind of presentations. I even sometimes hear otherwise pious people asking that God would send a new Pentecost. And I think we need to be very clear, brothers and sisters, just what it is that we're asking for or seeking. We're talking about seeking the Holy Spirit or praying for a new Pentecost, because we don't want to be like people who have an enormous treasure trove and then go, I wonder if there's going to be any money in my birthday card this year. We need to make use of the riches that are already there. We don't need a new Pentecost because the first one was definitive and effective. We may want to ask, how am I doing opening my heart to the work of the Holy Spirit? How am I aware of His presence? Do I understand what His presence is meant to do in my spiritual life? Too often as human beings, we are influenced by shiny things, for lack of a more spiritually precise way of saying it. So it's good to have our attention drawn in the gospel to how Jesus speaks about the Holy Spirit. What is the work of the Holy Spirit? It is to forgive sins. This takes place in confession. This is the source in Scripture where Jesus gives to His church that ability. And sure, we may think, okay, well, but Pentecost Sunday was a big deal. There is something supernatural going on. Absolutely, there is. But what is its goal? Its goal is union. It's a unification and a growing of the body of Christ, of the church itself. All of this flows from and leads back to the church herself. It isn't something given in addition to, or on top of, or aside. So what is it that we're seeking when we seek the Holy Spirit? And do we approach God as if He hasn't already given that to us? Because not only has the Holy Spirit been given to the church in Pentecost, we believe that in baptism we are given our first share of the Holy Spirit. That is sealed within us in our confirmation. And when we receive the Holy Eucharist, we, as St. John Paul II says, eat fire and spirit. Continually we are immersed in the very fire of God's life and love. The Holy Spirit is the person who is the love between the Father and the Son. Jesus says in John's Gospel that He and the Father will come and make their home in our hearts. This is not an exception given only to a few people who know how to pray a certain way. This is given to all who are disciples of Christ in his church, who are part of the body. And those other gifts that are supernatural, that we see manifested at times in the lives of the saints, are moments where we're looking at, let's say, a specialized organ, to continue with St. Paul's analogy in his letter to the Corinthians. We're looking at an eye, when in fact the eye is not proportionately a huge part of the body. So what are we seeking? I want to direct us to actually maybe the most definitive and easiest to understand explanation of the Holy Spirit that's given in Paul's letter to the Galatians. All of chapter 5 is worth our reading, but I'm not going to read all of chapter 5 to us, don't worry. I want to instead focus on what St. Paul says are the fruit of the Spirit. We know that the Spirit has been present by the fruit that he produces. So these fruits: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are not flashy things. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Very simply, are these things growing in our lives or are they not? If they're not, if we recognize there is a real deficit of those things, then it is time for us to look inward and make sure we have in fact connected with the Father and Son who are dwelling with us in our hearts as the Holy Spirit. We can't be standing there kind of looking on the horizon for whenever God's going to send us the Holy Spirit to zap us and make us better people, and instead go, he is that close already. And this may mean pivoting the focus of our spiritual life. Of course, we need to do an examination of conscience to be aware of our sin, to confess those sins. We need to make sure we are avoiding the near occasion of sin. But how often do we spend time considering growth in these gifts, in these fruits? If they are fruits, they can be cultivated. We cooperate with the Holy Spirit. God dignifies us by helping us be a part of his work. So before we seek extraordinary charisms, we need to be ensuring that we are seeking to fan the flame of genuine charity, joy, making peace, being patient, manifesting kindness, generosity, persevering in our faithfulness, being gentle and manifesting self-control. These are the definitive signs of the Holy Spirit abiding in a heart. Even the evil one is able to produce false miracles. This is why the church is so insistent on examining supernatural signs. But if we look at our lives and see that compared to a year ago, we have more love, more joy, more peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, we can be certain that we have lived in the grace of God and that he has been operative, that his Spirit has worked in our hearts. And to take consolation from one of the other great masters, St. Ignatius of Loyola, in his rules for discernment, maybe not the ones we immediately think of, those are what he calls the first week of rules. There's a second week, just sort of referring to how we continue to pay attention to God's Spirit versus the voice of the evil one as we're seeking to make progress in the spiritual life. He says we should observe carefully the whole course of our thoughts, that the beginning, the middle, and the end of those thoughts are wholly good and directed to what is right. And if we find that in the course of those thoughts, beginning, middle, or end, something evil or distracting, less good than the soul had formerly proposed to do, something that weakens the soul, disturbs it, disquiets it, robs it of peace and tranquility, we should look on those things as suspect coming from, as he says, the voice of the evil spirit who is the enemy of our progress and eternal salvation. So if you hear all of this and go, oh, you know what, Father, I can remember times in the last year where I haven't had love, or I haven't been gentle, or I haven't been particularly faithful. Okay? Those are data points of one. The Holy Spirit, as well as our enemy, look at progress. It is rare that the Spirit strikes us with an immediate change. Even St. Peter, who receives the outpouring of the Holy Spirit miraculously at Pentecost, will still need ongoing conversion, as we see in the Acts of the Apostles. So also for us. What we want to ask is, in those fruits, have I made progress? Am I better than I was before, even if I am not perfect? Are the things that I am listening to, that I'm seeking to do, the things that I feel might be inspirations, are they helping me in that progress, or are they producing a fruit that is other than these? We don't believe in the end justifying the means in the life of civil society, and we don't believe in it in the spiritual life. So we can't say, well, you know, I lost my temper, but something good came about. Hopefully these fruits of the Holy Spirit set that aside. That's God working in spite of us, not through us. So this is a good Sunday for us to become aware, actually, of how close the Holy Spirit is, that there is no need to be like the apostles last week, looking up at the sky, wondering when something's going to happen, but instead to have our attention drawn to the very closeness that God wants to have, because He is generous, and as He says through His Son in the gospel, I will not leave you orphans, that it is better for you that I go, because then the Advocate will come. We live in the era of the church where the Holy Spirit has been poured out. We need only pay attention to that fire and nurture it, feed it daily, and seek to cooperate with the growth of the fruits that God in His closeness cultivates in His sons and daughters.